please, whatever this means, not release the film. Very soft-spoken individual. By the way, the devil is always soft-spoken. If he's not, and the person who is being used by the devil is still an amateur, he will need more lessons from his will. Evil Highness. But he said, we had, all through the production of the movie, a father so-and-so as our director. You had father so-and-so? Yes. Well, I told him, I know father so-and-so. He was my teacher. He left the Society of Jesus. Please, don't trust father so-and-so. Are priests used by the devil? Are they ever? First, Christ then had no unruly passions. But he was hungry. By the way, just for the record, anyone who thinks that world communism is dead has another guest coming. My parents living in a country that, well, until less than a year ago, was under communist domination. The basic ideas of communism have penetrated so much of the Western world. Thank God there's more freedom in Poland and Czechoslovakia and other countries, even now Albania. The ideas have penetrated. Christ was hungry. And therefore, the devil could and did use Christ's hunger, hope, the devil, to get him to fall. The devil now uses, and I've got four things. The devil's methodology. The devil uses luxury. The devil uses food and drink. The devil uses entertainment. And the devil sure uses sex. And with unbelievable success. And I repeat, let's be honest. I am no saint, and you, I feel safe, are not yet canonizable saints. If the Son of the Living God allowed himself to be tempted to us to teach us that we too will be and are tempted by the devil, we're on method. Second, this is a large area. The devil's method is to induce people to neglect prayer. If there's one first examination of conscience you should make during the retreat, and one resolution that you're going to pray more. More in frequency, more especially in intensity and fervor. Well, you got no idea how busy I am. What's that got to do with the necessity for prayer? This is the most common form of tempting God. Let me repeat. The most common form of tempting God is to neglect prayer. In effect, expecting God to do what faith tells us He will not do unless we pray for the grace to do it. I may have asked this question before. Would God be unjust if He allowed us to be tempted beyond our strength? Did we ask that? And the correct answer is no. Notice, beyond our strength. We just cannot make it through life on our own strength. We cannot. And Christ, in His discourse of the Last Supper, couldn't have made it more clear and more definite. Without me, you can do what? Finish the sentence. Nothing on the way to heaven. That's where we believe we're going. Well, you better be going in the right direction. So we're tempted, whatever it is, either towards a forbidden pleasure or toward the endurance of some suffering, some trial, some cross. We pray. When I rap at certain people's doors, I always join my rapping with prayer. And as a matter of habit, I can't remember when it goes back. The telephone rings. I pick it up. I wash myself so that I'm not reciting the prayer into the telephone. But I pray. And the moment I hear a voice, I need prayer to know what to tell this person who can be on the side of the country. God knows what the person needs. If I pray, then I have more assurance of giving the counsel that the person requires. We're talking about the method of the evil spirit. Third, basic method. Practical idolatry has Satanism. We've said and we believe that the world is being exploited by the devil. That the devil is the prince of this world. My most dramatic experience along these lines was on a Christmas day, midnight mass, crowded church, I forget what city, I think in the state of Virginia. And I was in the pulpit, crowded church, midnight mass. Read the gospel, then began the homily for Christmas Day. As soon as I began the homily, the machinery made noise, and it became so loud there was no way. There was a pause in the noise. I speak again for 2 minutes. and another burst of noise. Finally, no coping with the noise. So I finished my homily. Almost nobody heard me because of the noise. After Mass, the pastor said, "Father, the last time this happened was about 15 years ago, when the late Archbishop Sheen preached here at Christmas Midnight Mass. And during his whole sermon, there was just deafening noise." The Archbishop said, "This happens to me quite regularly. When I have something specially important to say, the devil, he can't do much else, but he makes noise as a compliment from the evil spirit." In practice, this means how the devil promises his followers worldly success, acceptance by the world, acceptance by our own family and friends. And if there's one thing we all dread, and how well the devil knows this, how we dread rejection, and how we crave for acceptance. And the more we love a person, the more we want to be accepted by that person. Still the devil. He knows that we want publicity. As I mentioned before, because priests that I know, how well I know them, they know me. They make the front page of the New York Times quite regularly. A long life. Remember, we talked about this at the beginning? We are to be internally indifferent about living a long life. Pleasure in the world. And the world, I repeat, the world is used by the devil. That's Christ's own definition of the devil. He is the prince of this world. They go on. Many people succumb. Over the years, one of my closest friends is a priest who had been assistant exorcist in Rome. We know each other. We are in conversation. After some 10 years of exorcising in Rome, the devil got to him. Broke him down physically. You know, when the saints do commutes, as often as he can, to Rome. His superior, Father Candido, a Passionist, who was the chief exorcist of Rome, my conversation with him, said, "Father, how is it that so many people are victims of the devil? Is the devil more active than he used to be?" He said, No. The people are just an easier prey to the devil. They are so immersed in the things of this world that they become an easy prey of the evil spirit. And here, all of us, I could be speaking in Chicago, or, as Lord willing, I will be speaking in Dallas at the end of the month, or in Mission, British Columbia. We are living in the most materially advanced culture in human history. And this culture, how safely I can say this, is an easy prey to the devil. The only trouble with my statement is, people will say, well, I guess there's something to that. And think of someone else, except themselves. Examine your consciences on how you use the things of this world. Notice the word use. And not allow them. Now the devil won't put his imprimatur or signature. Be stupid. But using the things of this world, the satisfaction, things we couldn't possibly even know existed, let alone have at our disposal, unless we were living, what I keep repeating is, you in Canada, I in the United States, in materially super developed countries. We say many succumb. For then, those who succumb, and we have to say this, there may be some of our dearest friends and relatives. There may be those whom we most dearly love in this world. There's so many people. Life in this world is the only one that really exists, and people are living as though this was the only world. But it isn't. But what, shall I say, traumatic change of life some people would have to make to get out of this prison of which the evil spirit is the chief warden. There's no way you can explain massive abortion in today's world. I was in Canada teaching at the University in Ottawa when you first in Canada legalized abortion. And I watched the strategy of your then Prime Minister. By the way, a nominal Catholic. And I admired, I was terrified at his shrewdness. If you remember, it was over the Christmas holidays. Perfect timing. The secular media. You must all have heard about Marshall McLuhan. Okay. Well, my confessor at St. Paul's University, where I was then teaching in Ottawa, had just received a letter from Marshall McLuhan. He had received, this is the priest, had received Marshall into the church. He wrote one of his periodic letters to the priest, and the last sentence I'll never forget. Just one paragraph, one sentence. The modern media are engaged in a Luciferian conspiracy against the truth. My friends, believe that. It is word for word true. And of course, the deceased must be disguised, otherwise it wouldn't be the devil. The satanic control of the means of communication, the press, the film, radio, and television. the satanic control of education. And what I know about Canada allows me to say that the devil is not inactive in the field of education in Canada. Satanic control of legislation. Spent 4 years in Washington. Came to know some politicians very closely. How hard it is for a politician to remain faithful to Christ. Does the name Lee Atwater ring a bell? Have you heard the name Lee Atwater? Well, Lee Atwater had been the head of the Republican Party. He was the one who got President Bush into office. Well, about a year ago, I got a call from Washington from a friend of mine who works with the Republican Party. Father, he said, can you fly out of Washington tomorrow? Tomorrow? What's up? Well, he said, Lee Atwater, having seizures, it seems he has a brain tumor and he may die any minute. I'd like to have you see him. I said, does he want to see me? So, buddy, this friend of mine said, I talked to Lee and he was conscious. Lee, are you afraid to die? He said, sure am. Well, I guess you're worried about your past life. Yeah. I tell you the answer. I know a Catholic priest. The only way you can make sure that you will get back into, well, God's friendship, and if you die, you won't go to hell. What's his name? Gave my name. Lee Atwater was not a Catholic. In fact, he wasn't much of anything. So I flew down to Washington. Republican Party paid my round-trip ticket. The shortest instructions in the faith I've ever given, about 6 hours altogether. And his political aides were all around his bed. He was lying in bed. But I figured, well, they can profit from the instructions too. Said, Lee, no, I think being in a critical condition, I think I'd be justified in receiving you into the church. Now, you may have been baptized, he wasn't sure. If you were, if I now conditionally baptize you, nothing will happen. And if you weren't, you need it. But then because we're not absolutely sure, maybe just maybe you might have been baptized. After I baptize you, I will hear your confession. So between baptism and confession, you can't lose. It'll keep you out of hell. Gee, I want that. And back to Georgetown to confer with my Jesuit superiors. Should I do it? Well, go ahead, but keep it out of the papers. His friends were there for the baptism, put two towels next to his, under his head, so he wouldn't get the pillow in the bed all wet, pouring the baptismal water. I assure you, poured enough water to baptize 5 people. Then I told everybody to get out of the room. They didn't want to leave. Whatever words I used, but they all got out. Then I heard Lee Atwater's confession. Then to make triply sure, I gave him anointed him. I just got a call last night from Washington. He is in a dying condition. He survived so far. Pray for him, will you? Lee Atwater. politicians are being used by the devil. What's our responsibility? First, prayer. Prayer is the surest guarantee of not succumbing to the wiles of the evil spirit. Penance. That's right. Practice penance. Penance. I know we're in a monastery here, and I'm sure the Benedictines practice some penance, but not me. Penance. You won't expect me to say this, but would you say that most of the Catholics in Canada abstain from meat on Friday? Do you know that's a prescribed law of the church? Pray for bishops. Pray for bishops. I memorized the date, August the 6th, 1966, and Paul the 6th seemed to have mitigated the Friday abstinence. He didn't really. It was up to the bishops to provide and tell the people what corresponding penance they are to do on Friday. Do you hear me? The obligation to practice penance on Friday is on the same canonical level as assisting at Mass on Sundays. Do you hear me?
These directives from
you'd never, and I mean never, know that.
The wiles of the devil.
Unless you read what the Pope said, and even the English translation of what the Pope said is so garbled, you don't get what he was really after.
Verses 8 to 9. Weigh them.
Penance.
Here's how they go.
Then I close with these directives from St. Peter.
Be sober.
And he sure knew the wiles of the devil.
That doesn't mean just.
They occur in the first letter of Peter.
Not drunk.
Chapter 5, verses 8 to 9.
Be sober.
Reason.
Mind clear.
Here's how they go.
Be watchful.
It's a series of imperatives.
And the reason.
Be sober.
For your adversary the devil, like a roaring lion,
it doesn't mean just
seeking someone to devour.
Not drunk with alcohol.
There goes on.
Sober.
Resist him.
Mind clear.
Fast in the faith, knowing that the same suffering befalls your brethren all
and the reason
the world.
For your adversary the devil, like a roaring lion,
five imperatives,
goes about seeking someone
mind alert
to devour.
And the angel can't.
Peter goes on. Resist him.
As an angel of light.
Steadfast in the faith.
And the more spiritual.
Knowing that the same suffering befalls your brethren
piety
all over the world.
That a person is, the devil will use piety.
So there are five imperatives. Be sober.
Be sober.
Mind alert.
Be watchful. Resist him. Don't be afraid of the devil.
Be steadfast in faith. Believe the devil is active. He sure is. Finally, realize that anyone who is trying to remain faithful to Christ is especially a mark of the evil spirit. How many of you know the prayer to St. Michael the Archangel? Now the verses differ a little bit. See how far we can say it together.
Saint Michael the Archangel, friend in battle, be our protection, praise the devil. Restore me, O God, and we beseech thee, that thou, Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, guide us to help Satan, the evil spirits, who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen.
I cannot remember how many years back I say this on rising in the morning and one of my last prayers before I retire.